Why should I feel discouraged? Oh, I feel like singing that tonight. Why do the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Oh, I sing because I'm happy. Anybody feel that way tonight? Oh, I sing because I'm free. Oh, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches. Oh, can I sing it one more time? I see because I'm happy. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, I see because I'm free. I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. I'm glad I know. I know that I know that I know that I know. Oh, hallelujah. He watches over me. Oh, somebody help me praise Him right now. Jesus, you're wonderful. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Even when it doesn't feel like it, His eye is on the sparrow. Even when it doesn't look like it, His eye is on the sparrow. Isn't that right? Praise God. I'm glad to be here in church today. How about you? Praise the Lord. Let's just love Him again. Thankful. Hallelujah. He's watching over me. He's watching over me. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm going to go ahead and start. Is that all right? If you don't mind, Acts chapter 2, we're going to begin at verse 1. And we want to look to the Word of God today. And I want to try my very best to impart something to you I hope helps you today. Praise God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak, are not they Galileans? But how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Lord, help us today. God, give me grace to speak the word of the Lord. Help us draw near, God, in this moment that we are gathered together. Help us to draw near in full assurance of faith, having our hearts, Lord, sprinkled from an evil conscience. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. 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 You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Praise the Lord. There's a lot to say in this passage. There's a lot to say always in the word of God. I'm going to try to, as I like to try to do, just get to the punchline as fast as I possibly can. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to hopefully, Gwendolyn Carly from Jamaica says, Greetings, brothers and sisters. I'm a regular listener and do enjoy the testimonies and singings. Yeah. And singing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister, God bless you. God is so good. Amen. Always glad to have Jamaica with us. Yes. And the people of God there. Amen? Amen. God's so good. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. And gospel reaches everywhere. Yes. Amen. I was sincere when I said that. I'm glad we have people from South Africa and from Kenya and all these people we just read about. Australia. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter standing up with the 11, verse 14, so he was with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, You men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. I want to stop there for a minute, and I want to skip close to the end of this chapter, and Peter's preaching to them now, letting them know that, no, they're not drunk, and no, what you're hearing and what you're seeing is something that the prophets spoke about, and it's happening. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's happening. We're having service today, and it's happening. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the thing we need to do is keep letting it happen. Keep letting it happen so that it's not explainable. It's definitely undeniable, and it's a work that only God can do. Amen. Our services don't have to make sense. Praise the Lord. They don't have to somehow be boxed up, and they don't have to make sense to everybody. We're not trying to make sense to anybody. We are simply saints of the living God, sons and daughters of God who are gathered together to worship God. I am not confined by some order of ceremony. Look, if our ceremony is boxing it in and we just want to praise God and shout and have a great old time, but we feel like there's a curriculum we got to stick to, we ditch the curriculum and we worship God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's right. But I want to skip here. He's preaching to them, and we're going to go to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I simply want to pass on a message to you today. Every one of you. Not some of you, every one of you. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There's only one Christ. There's only one cross. There was only one burial where the Christ was buried. And there's only one resurrection where the Christ rose again according to the word of the living God. Hallelujah. He gave us one redemption message to preach. Let's begin here, verse 1, chapter 2. I want to say a few things that are very important for us. It was important when God was fulfilling his word that they were all together where they were supposed to be. Jesus had spent 40 days after his resurrection making sure, confirming that he was alive, confirming that he was the Messiah, confirming unto them that everything that was written of him had come to pass. It was true. We know the many incidents that he had to interact with these disciples in order to pull them out of their darkened state, their discouraged state, their defeated state, their departing state. And he spent 40 days of the 50 days that would come after that Passover meal that would reach unto the day of Pentecost, where God knew he was going to pour his spirit upon all flesh. But he took 40 of those 50 days making sure they were there. That he could do everything he needed to do to make sure that when he said, But go ye and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, that he did everything possible to impart what he needed to impart so that they would be there. Praise God. I don't want to miss out on a miracle. I don't want to be late for a miracle. I don't want to be late for the fulfilling of the word of God. I don't want to not be where I'm supposed to be when God shows up, because he's showing up whether you show up or not. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here's the thing. He wants you to show up. He wants you to be there, just like he wants us to be with him in glory. Praise God. He's so good. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were doing exactly what the Lord had said for them to do. They had gone into Jerusalem and they were praying, and they were all gathered together, the names being about 120. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Her other children were there because she had other children. Praise the Lord. I know that breaks tradition, but oh well, it breaks tradition. We don't have time to play patty cake with tradition. They all came together in Jerusalem and continued steadfastly in prayer. We need to learn a lesson about hanging around long enough until the promise is fulfilled. Praise God, that we're there and we're not giving up, because we're in a world today and in a society today that gives up so easy on everything. But if you want God in your life, he's going to teach you a lesson by, if you get hungry for this thing, you'll receive it. You'll find it. Yes, sir. But we got to be not so quick to end our prayer meetings short. Spend some time after the preaching and after the worship and the singing. Respond to it. Take time to make sure you've reached that fulfillment and that you've reached everything that God wants you to reach. Right. I feel it sometimes in services. I feel the liberty, and then it seems like it's bondage. It's like some are shackled and some are not. Some would like to and some don't, and somewhere in between. But here's the thing. Here's what I learned a long time ago, and I'm going to keep on relearning it if I have to. When I come together, I'm going to worship. Come on. I'm going to shout. I'm going to clap. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're having a bad day, okay, you're having a bad day, you need me to shout.
You need me to sprinkle a little bit of something in your direction, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Just be there, show up. Praise God. I told you the Sunday morning that God had healed me of that sinus infection, nobody else came up for prayer when they were invited. They do what church people do sometimes. Anybody need prayer? And we all become statues. I mean, technically speaking, we all need prayer. But you may not have a specific in your brain that makes you feel like I need to kind of go out there for something special. And I get that. But for me, I needed prayer. I was suffering. And I was continuing with that suffering. And God had a miracle waiting for me. He had healing waiting for me. And it took the Lord to step out from where the preacher said, "Does anybody need prayer?" And then the Lord said, "He's not getting it." And walk right back where I was and said, "You know what? If you leave where you are and come get anointed, I'll heal you." Remember what I did for the woman with the issue of blood. And I knew it didn't matter who wasn't clapping, who was ready to go home and have lunch. I needed to be healed. And I got healed instantly. I went up, man of God anointed me with oil in the name of the Lord. What healed me was the name of the Lord and my faith saying, "I believe you're able to do this." And I reached out. I showed up, praise God. And God fulfilled his word. From the top of my head onto my shoulders, like somebody pouring warm water on me. All of that pain and all of that infection and that bleeding and that congestion and that pain on my teeth just left me instantaneously. You see, when the day was come, they were there. And God's saying, if you'll just be there, praise God. Not stuck to your pew, but where you belong in worship and in praise and in reaching and in a demonstration of faith. God is saying, I will pour out. Amen. Hallelujah. Here's why it's so important, because there are so many that don't know how to do that. There are so many that don't know it's available, but we can show them it's available. There needs to be a noise. There needs to be something noised abroad. Something that reaches out where they are. And God wants to noise it from you. So when the day was come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Praise God. Look, when the sounds of despair and discouragement, when the sound of an economy that looks like it's going to implode, when the sounds of all of this issue and that issue, when the sounds of your emotion get too high, that they cloud out the ability for you to hear God, that's when we need to make sure we're somewhere where I can hear a sound that comes from heaven that can reach further down than I can reach up right now. Praise God. I've got to have that sound from heaven. I've got to. Every one of you need a sound from heaven. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Including myself. Thank you, Lord. Because there are times when the heart beats too loud and we think it's the will of God because we want it to be the will of God, but it's not the will of God sometimes. I need a suddenly that comes from God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So verse 2, 3, and 4 are all just describing the fact that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That hasn't gone away. That experience hasn't diminished. Just because some circles don't preach it, it doesn't mean that it's not true. Hallelujah. It just means they don't preach it. So here we find that they're worshiping God, and over the process of time when this is all happening and they're praising God, there are some that are hearing this. And when it was noised abroad, they came together. They're all amazed. I've read these verses to you. But I just wanted to point out to you all of these nations, all of these Jews from all of these different locations were coming together to celebrate the end of the harvest, this one solemn day of convocation, a Sabbath, really. No servile work was to be done in this day. It was after the 7 weeks of the Feast of Weeks. It was that 50th day. It was the Pentecost day. It was to where they would bring the wave offering and celebrate the good things of God and all worship together and give thanks unto the Lord. And God pours his Spirit out. No surprise. No surprise. Hallelujah. Don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on this. If I could say anything to you, I want to express to you today, every one of you, that's not a slap at you or anybody that has not yet obeyed Acts 2:38. It's something that's for you. Every one of you. Every one of you. No exceptions to the plan of redemption. There's no other way but one way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way. I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to the glory that's from above. I'm the truth. There's no other truth, and I'm the life. So that's biased. You're right, it is. Jesus said, I'm the only one that's right. Hallelujah. And if you're going to be right, I'm the only one that can make you right. There's no other way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're always going to have mockers, but we can't be afraid of the mockers. I'm skipping to verse 13 here. These men are full of new wine. You know, don't be so worried about what people think of you. Isn't it amazing when we lived in sin, we didn't care what anybody thought. We sinned, we loved our sin, and we did our sin. And if you said anything about it, we'd probably give a good reply back. Let you know, I don't care what you think about me. I mean, in today's world, they're doing it by the droves. Some circles want to come out of their closets and just be accepted and not persecuted for being of another gender. Now they got their fist in your face, and you better accept us or not, or else, rather. Or you're a phobic this or a phobic that. World's gone crazy. They're so ridiculous. Pressing on us to say you better or else. I don't better or else nothing. All unrighteousness is sin. That hasn't changed either. Right. Praise the Lord. Right. Amen. God has poured his spirit upon all flesh. The Holy Ghost is still here today for everyone, because everyone that wants to be born of God, there's a message for every one of you. Amen. Only one message. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. That has not changed. Praise God. And they all need to hear it. God can straighten out the mess that is happening in our confused world today. All right. God's so good. I'm trying to get to this here. So they mocked, but don't be afraid of the mocking. Peter stood up with the 11, all in agreement together. No confusion whatsoever. I'm so glad they stayed where they were in that upper room until they were endued with power from on high. I'm glad somebody obeyed God. I'm glad somebody just didn't decide to say, what's the use, and go back. There are times when, I'm popping back here for a minute, just give me a second. There are times, like for me, the Lord will go back and reach for you. I'm glad he did that day, Brother Bradley. I'm glad he spoke to my heart. I could have stayed there and continued suffering. Week after week after week, I'm so glad the Lord said, look, this is so unnecessary. Praise God. We preach that Christ can heal. We preach that Christ can save. And I want to be a part of an assembly where there's healings and where there's salvation going on. Praise God. And guess what? I'm a part of an assembly where there are healings and salvation going on. Don't be satisfied if you don't have everything that you absolutely need from God. Hallelujah. He's saying, and tarry a while until you be endued. Pray a while until you be endued. Reach for a while until you be endued. Break beyond yourself. For Christ Jesus was made a little lower than the angels to bring us beyond ourself unto the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I love that verse in Psalm 8. He was made a little lower than the angels. Not much, just a little lower. I love every word of God. I love all the meanings that are in the word of God. In that same psalm, he said, I know I said this before in the beginning of service, but he set his glory above the heavens, but yet he was made a little lower than the angels. Hallelujah. Everything we see, Christ has come to bring us above it, to the glory. Doesn't the scripture say Christ in you, the hope of glory? Hallelujah. Glory that's being manifested in our life today as he went a little lower to bring us a little higher. Amen. I need to be brought a little higher. I need to be in that upper room so I can be brought a little higher. Amen. Higher than my thoughts, higher than my emotions. I'm not supposed to serve my emotions, my affections. Praise God. They can lie to me. They can deceive me. Praise God. I want to be, and I hope you want to be, part of the fulfillment of the Word of God. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were there. I just feel that so strong. They were there. They were there. When God fulfilled His Word, they were there. And there wasn't this. Now, Judas didn't show up. He took his own life. But they were there. Please, I'm not here to get ugly with anyone today, and I'm not trying to frame words to help anybody. Specifically, I'm just trying to say a word from the Lord that there are times when we just got to make sure we're there. Bar none, I'm going to be there. Mock all you want to mock. I'm going to be one of them full of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be one of them baptized in Jesus' name. I'm going to be one of them that's walking in righteousness and true holiness. I'm going to be one of those Revelation 7 people of God. These are they which have come out of great tribulation, but have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. I want to be one of them. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, in Acts 2 here, and please, and just in passing before I go back to verse 37 and 8, please, you don't have to understand everything about the Holy Ghost in order to be full of the Holy Ghost. I didn't understand anything. I didn't know a thing. I didn't have to. He didn't ask me to have a degree before we can lay hands on you and pray for you and God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. And I didn't need a degree to be baptized in His name either. And I didn't need 15 weeks of Bible studies to be dunked in Jesus' name. I saw it and knew I didn't do it. I was sprinkled when I was a baby. But that's not baptism. Good intention, but it's not baptism. Babies don't know sin. No difference between good and evil. Why are you baptizing them? They're not the ones in trouble. Not until they get in trouble and need that baptism. It's not an option. People need to learn to stop editing God. God's not interested in whether or not you agree with this or not. Not your gospel, it's His. He rose again on the third day, not you. It's He who has made us, not we ourselves. It was He who descended and yet ascended, not you. So just make sure when you're praying, and if you have not yet been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, and if that experience has not happened for you, don't seek for tongues. Seek for the Holy Ghost. And really, I'm being careful about my choice of words. The Holy Ghost isn't lost. So don't go looking for it as if He's lost. You're lost. He just promised you, if you call on the name of the Lord, He'll fill you. So be intent. So the night I received the Holy Ghost, because I can only talk for me, I came wanting it. I was afraid. I knew who I was, and I knew God had been dealing with me for a couple of months, and it was all new, and as shy as I was even back then, I was terrified of microphones. Not the same kid. I was way in the back of the church, and again, it's that, does somebody want to come and pray? And it's that something about being the one who steps out, right? Brother Joseph, and everybody else sees you, and it's how everybody else, you know, what they think and how, you know, you feel about they knowing, and it's just that uncomfortable human thing about stepping out and being the only one. But let me tell you, there comes a point in time when you get hungry enough and that dinner bell is ringing, you're willing to say goodbye to friends, I got to go eat. You're willing to let go of everything that's going on at that hour. Why? Because I smell that chicken, praise God. And I was smelling chicken. And I said, Lord, I want what these people got. And and I was strong enough that I could let go of that metal folded chair and just walk towards the King of Glory. And as I did, I was crumbling, praise God, and I was crying and I was snorting, but I wanted this Holy Ghost. Lifted up my hands, surrounded by a bunch of people, and I was praying as soft as a whisper as you could possibly pray. I wasn't like this, let me tell you that. So I hope I'm not too loud, but total opposite, my little Catholic prayer. But I was crying and just telling God I don't want to be a sinner. Nobody else around me knew that I had received the Holy Ghost when I did. But I knew it. And ultimately, that's all that counts. I knew as I was repenting, all of a sudden God started talking. And it went from my language to his. Praise the Lord. And I knew God had stepped right in. Music to his ears. God, I don't want to be what I was once before. I don't want to sin anymore. I want to live for God and I want the Holy Ghost. Next thing that came out was something that came from heaven. Glory. It was a glory that came a little lower. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, God wants to fill you with that glory tonight, this afternoon, if you don't have it. Hallelujah. Spare with me another moment here. Every one of you, no exceptions to the rule. Why would you want there to be one? Hallelujah. Praise God. So here is Mother Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace. Speaking with other tongues, shouting. She's probably tearing up that floor in that upper room. And then wouldn't that be something to show the nunnery? This is Mama Mary. Praise the Lord. I'm not slapping nobody in the face. I grew up this way. I can talk this way. Imagine all those nuns watching her shouting and praising God, kicking up a heel, speaking with other tongues and magnifying the Lord. They'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't the Mother Mary we learned about. No, you're right. It's not. But it's a better one. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Not the Mother of God, but somebody that gave birth to the Son of the Highest. Amen, amen, amen. And then submitted herself to that which came forth from her. Hallelujah. And said, I need what you are. Praise God. For even a sword shall pierce your own soul also. That's what he told her. Simeon, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. God good? All right, I got to get to verse 37 here again. But listen to the question. It's a singular question. And at the moment, it was all of these Jews from all of these nations where they were scattered and where they were coming to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And there to celebrate. And Peter's preaching to them all. And when they heard what he had said, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do I do? What do we do? Because they discovered they had murdered him. And they were guilty of everything. And that all that God had promised in the Psalms and in the prophets, he had so fulfilled. And that's what he was saying. This is the fulfillment of the Word of God. Somebody needs to bump into you as a fulfillment, not a disaster story. You hear what I just said? Somebody needs to bump into you and see you as a scriptural fulfillment. Praise God. They can mock on all they want to. That makes no difference. But when they meet you, they need to meet somebody who is a fulfillment of the Word of God, not somebody struggling with sin, one foot in and then one foot out. It don't work that way. You got to get both feet in if you're going to help anybody, honey bun.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God's so good. Amen, amen. All right, I'll quiet down here. I don't want to sound like I'm shouting at everybody. But they asked him, what shall we do? Now, here's where a lot of people are in error. And they commit an error because they overlook this question. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, you'll never hear this message unless you get the same question in your soul. What shall we do? Until you're able to humble yourself and say, Lord, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to be saved? What does it really take to be converted and my sins to be blotted out? What do I need to do? You'll never hear this. As long as you're, well, I'm saved and I know I'm saved and grandma believed it this way, great grandma believed it this way, I know, and you just can't tell me any different. As long as you have that type of an attitude, you'll never hear this message. I don't care how much we know. I don't want that attitude. I don't want to ever be a closed door because you know what? I can always learn more. Hallelujah. We have not exhausted him. How unsearchable are his riches and his ways past finding out. That's what the man of God wrote. Isn't that right? What was it that David said about his thoughts? They're too wonderful for me. They're too numerous. I cannot contain them. They're too much. Praise God. He begins to speak to Job and just testify just a couple of chapters worth of stuff. And Job said, my mouth is now closed. I am dumb. I will not reply back. I don't know anything. Praise God. And yet you read the chapters of things they said and you would think these guys know some stuff. Even the idiots. They're friends. His friends that tried to comfort him. His three wonderful friends that knew that he had done something wrong. And they say all this poetic stuff that you like, wow, where do they get all this stuff? Boy, these are men of God. They got to be right. Job? They can't say all this and not be right. Could they? I mean, is it really possible that people can carry a Bible and preach in a pulpit and be wrong? Yeah. I don't want it that way. You don't want it that way. God doesn't even want it that way. But the truth of the matter is, and I'm not calling every preacher this, but even Satan has ministers who appear as angels of light, but they're not preaching the truth. Jesus testified there'll be false Christs, false prophets, false teachers, didn't he? He knew after the day of Pentecost and after this message that we're reading here, he knew that there would be others that would create another way. He knew that there would be the vanilla ice cream Christianity, the chocolate Christianity, the weirdo banana going bananas flavor of Christianity, the rum raisin bunch, and the mint pistachio people. He knew they'd all be there. Praise God. That's right. And every one of them are like, we're ice cream. We're saved. Parthians and Arabians and Cretes. I'm using them as an example of all these different types. But Peter said to every one of them, to every flavor, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So the message goes out to the pistachio people, to the going bananas people, to the rum raisins, to the blueberry, to the peach, to the coconut, almond crunch that my wife likes, those people. Repent, every flavor of you. Baptist, Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholic, Apostolic, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Pentecostal, First, Second, Third, Fourth, Fifth, Baptist. Every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Every one of you, no exceptions to the rule. Only one salvation, praise God. Only one name given under heaven among men, whereby every flavor of ice cream in Christianity must be saved. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. There's no such thing as two different baptismal formulas. There's only one Holy Ghost, number one, for the Spirit baptism, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Ghost in us. Amen. We don't serve the man Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5. We no longer know him after the flesh, but we do know him after the Spirit. Jesus was greater than the man, the veil that he wore. When he got out of that tomb, that veil, that flesh was glorified. And that which was beyond the veil, the Holy of Holies, he poured out on the day of Pentecost. That's how significant this is, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Lord had rent that veil in two and said, now everybody can come in and find rest for their soul. Every single, I'm pouring my Spirit upon everybody, Jew and Gentile alike. Every one of you. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty to save, mighty to save. But watch. Here's the trick of the enemy, because he doesn't want you being buried by baptism into death. Everyone, right? Watch what he says to Eve. Yea, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And Eve said, no, it's not what he said. He said, of every tree I can eat, just not this tree. See, false doctrine wants to get you away from every one of you and get you onto something that's not for everyone. Praise the Lord. It's actually for none of you. That tree is for none of you. So he wants to create other doctrines to steer you away from every one of you. The scripture says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Not some of the tongues, not just the pistachio crowd, not just the cookies and cream crowd. Every one of you. At the name of Jesus, every one of you. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know all that is in me. Praise him, praise him, praise him. It's a message to every one of us. So it doesn't matter what you believe. Today I'm not preaching to your dead relatives. They're dead and in the hands of the living God. I'm preaching to you. Hallelujah. So stop letting the devil pull you back to say, but mama didn't believe this, and Graham didn't believe this, and great Graham didn't believe this. How do you know for sure where people have been? You might think you know, but you don't. But leave them in the hands of God. It's a trick of the enemy to get you not to listen to the truth. That's for everyone. I can't answer for those who didn't get it. And I'm not going to judge anybody that's dead. They're out of my jurisdiction. But you ain't. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can hear, every one of you. You can hear, repent. Jesus didn't come preaching, it's okay to be what you are, accept you as you are, come to me as you are. That's not gospel. I know they say in crusades, and it's a compassionate thing to say, just come as you are. Well, that's all we can do is come to him as we are. But Jesus said, when you're coming, repent from what you are. And that's the true message. Yes, we may come as we are. We're sinful people. But the message of the gospel is repent and believe the gospel. Repentance is forsake what you are. I'm never going to accept what you are. I want you to forsake and go away from what you are. Depart from evil. And then I want to bury it. Praise God. See, Jesus gave us the opportunity to partake of his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what water baptism, repentance and water baptism is for. Repentance and remission of sins in his name. See, the remission is the atonement. And this is where we receive, number one, forgiveness. Number two, cleansing. And this is where we give God amnesia over what we've been. And he looks to us and says, I've removed your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. I will no more remember your iniquities and your sins. Forgotten. That's why we can rise and walk in newness of life, because he doesn't know the old sinner we once were. Now we rise up to be saints. Sons and daughters of the living God. Every one of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. God's so good. Praise God. Is this all right? I'm not being too loud. Okay, I'm trying to finish here. Hallelujah, everyone. I'm going to get a little dicey for some that may be watching, so because I want to try to help some people right now. Matthew 28 and 19 is the exact same thing as Acts 2:38. When you put Matthew 28:19 side by side to Acts 2:38, you're looking at two scriptures. Two verses that come from God, and two verses that say the very same thing. They are not two different baptismal formula scriptures. There's no such thing as a three-person baptismal formula scripture, and then we got the other scripture for the one God fanatics. Because if you're part of the church, you're a one God fanatic by default. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He spoke to Timothy and said, there is one God. And one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And the confusion comes with what people don't understand. When you look at Matthew 28:19, there's a singular word there. It says name. And when he spoke that to his disciples all those years ago, if you don't understand it and you're used to somebody just repeating that verse over somebody in water baptism and then dunking them, not realizing that's not what he said to do, they're demonstrating that verse ignorantly. If you want to know, go find out what the apostles did, how they demonstrated the understanding of that verse. Even if your eyes are not open and you can't see that that name is Jesus in that verse, go look at the apostles and see what they did in demonstration. And they will show you that Matthew 28:19 means to be baptized in Jesus' name. That is the name given unto him. Isn't that right? Gave him a name that's above every name. Praise God. A more excellent name than the angels. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. This is not a fight. I'm just simply trying to reach every one of you. There's too many people wanting to be cookies and cream and not the real variety. They want to be those off brands that just are not the same as the homemade stuff. God's plan of salvation is homemade. Amen. Stop settling for that non-brand name stuff. Praise God, that has no flavor to it. Hallelujah. That's right. It keeps you acting. That's right. Jail food. It keeps you acting and feeling like maybe you're a Christian, but you're not. When God wants you to be. Isn't that right? All right, I'm wrapping this up. Then Peter said unto them, and you can see the examples of water baptism in Scripture, not only in this verse, but in Acts chapter 8, verse 16. For as yet he, the Holy Ghost, was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verse 48. Then Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And this was the Gentiles. Why? Because it's the same message for the Jews, the same message for the Gentiles. The Gentiles, which a lot of us are, categorically speaking, although, anyways, enough of that, but we got the same plan. Same plan. Not a different plan. He didn't give us a different flavor of ice cream. Nobody has the right to figure out the scripture on their own and come up with their own doctrine. What shall we do? All the apostles said, this is what you need to do. And then they turned to the Gentiles when God said, I want all the Gentile nations in on this too. They said the same thing to the Gentiles. And why it was such a big deal is because the Gentiles were able to get in on the atonement that once only belonged to the Jews. And that's why it was such a big issue in the first century and such a big eye-opener, is because these people that they were taught for centuries to not dine with, not partake of, to stay away from because they're the unclean, now he's saying, I want you to go out and have church with them. I want you to baptize them in my name that was once only your name. A name that I ride upon the heavens by, I want them to have this same name. Hallelujah. I'm so glad, aren't you? I'm so glad. So I'll just read this verse and I'm finishing right now. Then Peter said unto them, repent. If you want to be saved, if you want to make sure that your walk with God is exactly what this scripture says it needs to be, then to you I say, repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's the title today, every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, he shed blood for every one of you, so that you could be buried with him by baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost if you don't already have it. So that means when people are baptized, what needs to be spoken over them is the name of Jesus. No name of Jesus, no baptism. You don't come up with the idea that, well, the idea is there when you repeat Matthew 28:19 over them. It wasn't meant to be repeated. It was meant to be performed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because it's a promise. And it's unto you and to your children. And what's, see, here's the problem. as for Eve, Satan wants to do the same thing with people. He wants to take you away from every one of you, every tree. He wanted to take her away from every tree of the garden and sell her on the one tree she didn't need. He doesn't want them to get to the place where they hear the message that's to every one of you. That's why there are so many people that say, I'm saved without it. I've accepted Jesus. I'm saved. He automatically came in. I don't need to do any of that. That's the devil talking. But if you want to be saved, the Lord's talking and saying, this message is to every one of you. Praise God. Don't let the devil cheat you out of really being converted and your sins being blotted out. He don't want you to really be saved. He'd like to leave you thinking you're saved, but not really be saved. That's why there's so many that struggle when they consider water baptism in Jesus' name, because he knows he's going to lose one more sinner. Praise God, because one more is going to be buried and one more is going to be taken from darkness into light. Hallelujah. Let's stand and let's love him one more time. Go ahead. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you have any doubt in your heart that you've been baptized correctly, for example, then I suggest to you to get baptized again. I strongly suggest. We have a trough here. It's 8 foot long. We fill it with water. We heat it up even. And we try to. And we'll bury you in water in his name. Amen. So that it's done right. Yeah. This isn't anything you have to struggle with. This is just something God brings us to because we love him so much. Yeah. See, there are people from all walks of life that come from all sorts of doctrinal backgrounds. And God's not slamming them for being pistachio and Oreo and all of this other stuff. That's all they know. Just like all I knew was, you know, the butter rum crowd. Right. All I knew is what I knew coming here. Right. Nobody started preaching against the Pope. Nobody slammed Mother Mary. Nobody accused me of praying to dead saints and genuflecting the statues. Nobody brought any of that up. They didn't care. They just loved me. And they worshiped around me. And they just said, there's something, there's more than what you know. Praise God. There's more than what you know. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 So feel free to talk to us if that's the case with you. And we're closing, and I'm going to give you a chance to come and pray. And if you need prayer tonight, or if you feel like for any reason, whatever the reason may be, you've heard the message. I'm not going to re-preach it. Just come and pray and call upon the Lord. If you need something from God, come and pray and trust in the Lord and watch what God will do. Amen, amen. Thank you.